Enjoy Working Class Radio Experience, where hard work, common sense, and rational thought are a reality. The Rick Smith Show.
Working hard to make a living, rich and poverty. My father's son left a cameo, blue denim, had his vein. He's a working class man.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, therickSmithShow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, you can email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. So what we're seeing going on across the country are people lining up to say, look, we've got to take on the GOP. We've got to take on the people in Washington and in state capitals across the country because, look, the priorities completely misplaced. The ideas that we were going to talk about jobs, we were going to talk about rebuilding the middle class, a prosperous working class, it ain't happening. And it isn't happening, and it's not going to happen. So what's going to have to happen is average, everyday, working class folks like you, me, and others are going to have to step forward, which is why I was one of the first people to say, hey, my good friend David Yankovich, let's get him to run against Paul Ryan, because I believe Paul Ryan is the ideological head of the Republican Party. He's the guy who brings all the bad ideas. So if you could take him out, so much better. So, you know, I thought, you know, the big news last week was David was stepping aside, going to team up with Randy Bryce and say, look, it's all about taking out Paul Ryan. It's not about dividing and tearing up the party. And this is the kind of unity, the kind of leadership that the Democratic Party is going to need to come together. And if we can see this kind of solidarity across the country, we might actually have a shot in 2018 at returning the nation just to some level of sanity, which is huge, in my opinion, which is why we've asked both David and Randy to come talk with us. David, thanks for taking time for us. David, you there? I guess not. I've also got Randy Bryce on the line. Randy, are you there?
Hello. I'm here. I can hear David.
Okay, for some reason, we're not getting David through. But, you know, the thing is, Randy, and thank you for taking a little time for us. You know, what made you guys come together? What made, I mean, for a while, you were butting heads and heads. What made you guys come together?
And, you know, talking about butting heads, I really don't think it wasn't a big thing. There wasn't a lot of head butting. It wasn't very, you know, it wasn't hard hits. And actually, we went out to eat the night before David announced his support for us, and we laughed about some of the things that we did, you know, setting up little booby traps and had that to each other. It was we actually had a really good time when we ate, but it was just the fact that we're looking at the big picture, and you know, we have similar stories talking about our, you know, concern for our families and people in the area, and it's just the desire to come together. And that it's, you know, I don't see this as David dropping out or losing in any way. He's, you know, he pulled up his roots. I have to give him all kinds of credit for having the desire, you know, and the drive to pick up everything and move to a place he's never been to before and plant himself firmly. So we were both at the Racine County Dems meeting last night. I told him that if we're going to get this done, we're going to work together. He needs to know all the same people I do. So it's about giving him the connections that, you know, and meeting people that have helped me and that I've stood with for these past years, especially since Scott Walker and these extreme Republicans have taken over. So it's looking out for, and you know, and it's an understanding too that Paul Ryan is the Speaker of the House. He's not the Speaker. He's not speaking on behalf of working people's houses. But it's just, you know, this is a national issue, and it's directly affecting people of First Congressional District because he's nowhere to be found as far as when it comes to talking to the public.
Yeah, and the reality is, I mean, Wisconsin for me has always been ground zero. I remember back in 2011, we were one of the few radio programs in the country to broadcast from inside the Capitol there in Madison, slept on the floor there, on the marble floor for almost two mm-hmm. weeks as that whole debacle was going on. And I remember saying then that all of the bad ideas that are coming out of Wisconsin in 2011 were going to find their way across the country because it was the GOP ideology. This was what they had been wanting for generations. It's just now that they had the funding and the mechanisms to push that stuff forward.
Right, and especially more so after this last November election, with seeing who, you know, who's in Washington, D.C., and that's, you know, Rance Priebus is from Kenosha, Scott Walker was trying to get himself in, and now he's buddy-buddy with Donald Trump, and, of course, you know, Paul Ryan. So it's everything that's been going on in Wisconsin has been exported to the rest of the country, and it's that was one of the reasons, one of many reasons why I felt the need to get in and put a stop to this.
Yeah, I got to tell you, you're the video that you guys put out, probably one of the top five political videos I've seen, right up there with Ben Carson's hands video. Not as high as the Morning in America with Reagan and the little girl with Johnson, but really way up there.
Yeah, and one of the things when I was given some links of work that the guys did, and that's Acres New York, was look at stuff that they did. And it was all they did, Mayor de Blasio's ad, Fetterman for Senate. And it was all, you know, storytelling. Like the de Blasio one was him sitting eating breakfast with his family. And I'm so sick of, and I know a lot of other people are too, based on comments I'm getting, just really sick of the other, you know, the attack ads where somebody pulls out a crate of vegetables and starts launching them at their opponent, saying, this guy's horrible, this guy's horrible. It told a story. It's a positive message. And I'd like to see, you know, I would hope that more people would choose positive messages instead of attacks. There's too much ugliness going on in the country right now, and there's no need for it.
Yeah, I mean, the hate and the anger is just ramping up to levels that I've never seen in my lifetime. And I understand we got David on line one. David, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep. I appreciate you taking some time for us. David, you know, I've been seeing a lot of messaging going on. A lot of folks saying that, you know, look, you did the right thing. That this is the leadership. This is the kind of a vision, the kind of, you know, idea of unity and solidarity that maybe we need to see across the country, and saying, you know what, it's not about tearing each other apart. It's about going after the real target, which in Wisconsin's first district is Paul Ryan.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I got to know Randy really well. And, you know, we're Wisconsin, you run into each other a lot. You know, we go to different events, and we see each other all the time. So me and Randy have had a lot of time to talk to each other, and I've gotten to know him. Our stories are very similar for the reasons why we got into this race. You know, his mom and the issues that she's going through medically, and then, of course, the stuff that happened to mine that I talked about here before. And just getting to know him, I mean, this is a guy who he's worked hard. You know, he's worked in the freezing cold. He's worked in a blistering heat. He's been there, you know, and, you know, he had that ad, and like what Randy just said, he didn't go negative. He didn't talk about Paul Ryan being a clown or any of that stuff. He told his own story, and it was powerful, and it resonated with everybody, and it resonated with me. So I, you know, I wanted to help out as much as I could. And when I was thinking about this race in particular, you know, when you put your pride aside, you think about it objectively, the best way to take out Paul Ryan is to come together. The, you know, fundraising, the unity, us on the same message. You know, he's counting on a hotly contested, divisive primary that's going to hurt the Democrats. And, you know, I removed that option. Now it's basically, you know, going to be our story versus his. And his story is driving a Wienermobile while Randy Bryce has been working hard his whole life. So I'm really excited about what we did. And I'm excited about coming together and doing this unified and really just hitting the road together on this.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important that, you know, look, at the end of it, the goal is coming up with, you know, how do we regain that prosperous working class? How do we make sure that that families have the ability to put food on the table, health care, you know, education, infrastructure? These are the policies. You go back to 2016, and why I believe, and maybe I'll get Randy's thought on this, because a lot of union members voted for Donald Trump because, look, the unions were saying bad trade deals, we need to rebuild the country, and that was Trump's message, yet we've gotten none of that out of this administration or out of Paul Ryan.
Donald Trump sounded good, and I have worked within the past year since the election with guys that I know have voted for him. And all I asked them, has he done anything? Has he kept name one promise he's kept? And they just kind of hang their heads. And, you know, you're right. He hasn't. The message sounded good. And that's what I was telling our members back then. I was like, the message is good, but I can promise you, you know, a trip to Disney World every other month, and you might want it, But that doesn't mean you're going to get it. And that's where this message is coming out now. It just, you know, I tell people I didn't invent the internet. That's not what the ad's about. It's just a working person with concerns about his, you know, his son, his parents, his neighbor's health. And, people just need to, you know, search to on the internet to see where I've been and who I've been standing with, what I've done. It's, I'm just stating, you know, what I've done and, looking forward to continuing it. There's not going to be any change in who I am or what I'm about.
Now, the reality is this is going to be one of the most expensive elections, I would have to imagine, in the country, in that you're taking on the sitting Speaker of the House. An upset in this first congressional district in Wisconsin would be a major, major blow to the conservative ideology and all of the bad ideas that we see banging around.
Right. And already it's been a couple of weeks when we were first discussing how we're going to run. We figured Paul Ryan and, you know, they were going to ignore us based on previous races. They were just going to ignore us and pretend we didn't exist for as long as they possibly could. They're already, the NRCC already sent out an ad across the country attacking me, calling me, you know, left-wing agitator. And it's pretty humorous. I don't know if they think they're really hurting my feelings or something like that, but all I tell people is if they need to come work with me on a job site and to see how we, you know, the good-natured ribbing that goes back and forth. And it's funny. I'm like, is this the best you have? So, well, no. And I'm looking forward to a lot worse.
No, you've got to be thrilled the fact that they actually see you as a threat, because, you know, ignoring you says that they don't really care and that you don't have a chance. The fact that they're coming out this soon and attacking, this says that they're worried.
Right. And not only that, but they're attacking and they're, you know, and Paul Ryan has just stated he's refusing to have a public town hall. So it's, you know, if your policies are that bad that you're afraid of the people you're elected to represent, that says all you need to know. You need to get a new job.
Now, both of you, I mean, both David and Randy, the both of you, your mothers have illnesses, have pre-existing conditions. The Medicare, the Medicaid destruction, the attack on health care in this country, both personal to both of you, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. On my part.
And David?
I mean, you know, for me, that's the reason why I got into this thing. It totally propelled me a whole different direction. You know, I was thinking about running anyway, but I knew I had to run when my mom got sick. And, you know, being at my age and stuff, you know, a lot of people who are millennials, they don't think that can happen to them or that they have to make those kinds of decisions yet. But, you know, at any given day, you can call your mom and tell her goodnight, or dad, brother or sister, and then the next day you're in charge of their medical decisions and keeping them alive. So, you know, for me, it was definitely one of the major issues that got me into it.
So, Randy, I mean, you know, obviously you're the candidate. You're the guy who's going to be pushing forward. What should health care look like in your view?
Well, it should involve access for everybody. I've already stated that I'd signed on to the Conyers bill. There are protections currently in place that I'm opposed to seeing taken away, you know, like pre-existing conditions. There's some things that can be fixed with Obamacare. I mean, it's specifically from our labor union's point of view that we were getting charged extra because it was considered a Cadillac Act, so we did. And I don't think that people that have provided good health care should be penalized for it. So it's not perfect, but I'm in favor of moving to Medicare for all in as quick a manner as possible. And I've already stated several times I'd love to sign on and co-sponsor the Conyers bill.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, to me, that seems to be where we need to go. And I've said for a while, you know, if we have to have a system that is not Medicare for all, let the unions run the health care. Because I got to be honest, as a Teamster for 20 years, I never had such good health care as when I was a working Teamster.
Right. And that's just part of, you know, when people talk about unions and their dinosaurs, I'm like, well, is healthcare something that's outdated? Look at people now. With, you know, the leading cause of bankruptcies is due to medical bills. And unions aren't just about helping union members. It's about the entire community. It's about safe working conditions, being able to have access to healthcare, and just looking after each other. That's basically, I mean, the first Iron Workers Union was formed well over 100 years ago, and it was a group of guys that got together, and because of our high mortality rate on the job, a group of guys got together and decided to pool their money in order to provide a decent burial for one of the co-workers. It's always been about looking after each other, having each other's back, and it's not just for union members, it's for the entire community.
And I think that's important to, for people to remember, because you hear this a lot. Well, you know, Randy, that was just something we needed 100 years ago. Unions, you know, they're past their time. We don't need them anymore. But the reality is, I argue, we need them more than ever now, because you look at the fact that health insurance is going away or costing much more with people who have jobs. Pensions, a thing of the past. Safe workplaces, heading the way of a thing of the past. Actually having a job and not being an independent contractor, another thing. I mean, today, now more than ever, in my view.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, since the 80s, when Ronald Reagan first went after the air traffic controllers, income inequality has just, off a cliff, horrible. You know, there's less chance for people to move up on the ladder, and it's almost impossible for some people just to make it into the working class to find a good job, because getting, you know, education and or skills is almost non-existent. And if not for finding the Iron Workers Union and getting into an apprenticeship that is, you know, provides training for a fantastic career at no cost to the taxpayers, I might still be working two full-time jobs and having two nickels to scrape together at the end of payday.
Yeah, I mean, again, your story is one of those that I think every working person in this country should see and understand and internalize, because, you know, we all live in that working class world. And again, if folks want to check it out, randybriceforcongress.com, we'll get a link at therickSmithShow.com. You can check out what I think is a fantastic video, and I highly suggest people looking at it, because, look, it's one of those, it's telling a story, and a positive one. None of this negative attack stuff, just good stuff. RandyBriceForCongress.com. We'll make sure that happens. But here's the thing, Randy, and this is one of my hopes when David was running as well, because I need someone like a George Miller back in Congress, someone who's going to be that voice for working people, who's going to continue to push for the advancement of labor law instead of the destruction of labor law, if you understand what I'm saying.
Oh, absolutely. And like I said, when Act 10 was first announced in Wisconsin, I'll never forget, it was a Friday afternoon, and I was pulling up. We were building an addition at Nestle's in Burlington. It was cold, and I was told somebody, you know, our district council president with the International called to let me know. Within 2 days, by the first Sunday after Act 10 was announced and Walker was going to drop his bomb, we had like 250 people in Horicon marching to the speaker of the state assembly. So it's been, you know, we recognized these attacks as soon as they happened, and we knew it was going to be a long run. And just warning our members that, you know, this might not affect the private sector unions yet, but trust me, it will. And it didn't take a Nostradamus to know what was coming, but, you know, look at Wisconsin now and look at the attacks on working people that have taken place since these extremists have taken power. And they're doing everything possible to stay in power because they have horrible policies. They're doing gerrymandering, which, you know, has the representatives choosing their voters. They're doing voter suppression, you know, and it's the worst in the state of Wisconsin in November. They're trying to get less people the ability to vote, and they're deciding who the voters are for the representatives. And when you do that, it says that you have absolutely horrible policies, and you need to be replaced.
No, I'm right there with you. But the policies, again, I think you said this earlier, and aptly so, that, you know, we bought into the message of, hey, we're going to be great jobs, we're bringing manufacturing back, we're going to do infrastructure, good trade deals, all of that, and yet we've gotten everything. But again, the website, randybriceforcongress.com, we'll make sure we get a link at therickSmithShow.com. David, you know, let me ask you, because, you know, we want to make sure that we get good people in Congress. How can folks help Randy?
Go to his website, sign up, volunteer, of course, donate. You know, he's going up against the Speaker of the House, and he's going to need all the help he can get with that. But, you know, just show up. Everybody needs to be out there. You know, the resistance needs to show up. the activists, everybody needs to be in these races, not just Randy, but across the country. If everybody who is passionate about what's happening right now, you know, actually shows up and votes and actually fights for doing the right thing, I don't see how we can lose in 2018.
Now, last bit of questioning I've got for the both of you. And David, you know, the like I said, nothing but credit to you for saying, look, it's all about taking Paul Ryan out. There are going to be a number of these contentious kind of races across the country. Any advice for folks who may be in the same kind of dynamics you guys were in? Any thoughts?
Well, I mean, I think the first thing is keep it positive, because you never know when you're going to be helping out the other person one way or another. The reason why it was so easy for Randy and I to come together is because there was no hurt feelings. I mean, we had a couple of things where we bumped each other, but we laughed about it. I think he talked about that when I got cut off the line there. But, you know, for candidates out there who, you know, have primary challengers, keep a positive focus on the issues, because all anybody cares about is how is it going to affect my family. And then, you know, if you find yourself in a position where you can help the other person for the strength of the party, do it. And do it and come together, show unity, and keep fighting together.
There you go. Randy, last question I've got for you. How can we help you? What's the ask? What can folks around the country do to help?
Well, obviously, visiting the website, if you're randybriceforcongress.com. If you're in the area and you can help out by knocking doors, it's going to be a people-powered race. That's how we're going to win. And it's, you know, if not here, it's a national thing. And part of the reason I'm doing this is I'm encouraging other people, working people, you know, who better than yourself to make decisions for us. So let's swarm them. Let's fill up Congress and every representative position filled with working people, because who better to make decisions than us on our behalf?
Yeah, it's absolutely what we need. We've got to take it back one way or another. Randy, I appreciate the time. David, thank you so much. I hope both of you will come back early and often as this continues down the road.
Thank you, Rick.
Great talking with you. Again, randybriceforcongress.com. We'll get the link at thericksmithshow.com. Let's take a quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
The door. It's desperate times, so desperate measures we explore. Marching on the Capitol to lobby leaders for involvement. 3,000 people screaming out.
Where's our government?
Lawsuits and arraignments. Members under company surveillance. Public divided. Either they love us or they hate us. Profit billions off our back, and it's still not enough. They should have took into account
that we never give up.
We'll be here one day longer.
Your working class radio experience, where hard work, common sense, and rational thought are a reality. The Rick Smith Show.